ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Underway right now, the Israeli War Cabinet's second meeting in as many days following Iran's attack on Israel. Considering whether and how to respond to that attack, where more than 300 Iranian drones and missiles were fired at Israel, but most never reached their targets, 99% of them intercepted with the help of the U.S. and other allies. Jury selection begins this morning in the New York hush money trial of former President Trump. ABC Chief Legal Analyst Dan Abrams.
The standard is not, do you know who the defendant is? That's not what it is. The standard is not, do you know anything about the case? The standard is, can this person objectively evaluate the evidence? And that's where it's going to be tricky.
Hundreds of potential jurors have been summoned for this, the first ever criminal trial of a former U.S. president. They'll be asked 42 questions, including whether they've attended a Trump campaign event or follow him on social media. This is ABC News. Four people now under arrest after the disappearance of two Kansas women.
Veronica Butler was headed to Eva, Oklahoma from Hugoton, Kansas, March 30th to pick up her children. Her friend Jillian Kelly was with her, but they never made it.
Several people in this area, northwest Oklahoma, southwest Kansas, have reached out and done everything they can to give us as many tips as they can to help us.
Hunter McKee of the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation says four people were arrested Saturday in connection with the women's disappearance. Yesterday, two bodies thought to be those of Butler and Kelly were discovered. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The Biden administration announcing nearly $6.5 billion in aid to Samsung to build a new computer chip research and manufacturing center in Texas at the weekend box office.
Whatever happens, we don't quit.
No quit in the new movie Civil War, taking the top spot with nearly $26 million in ticket sales in its opening weekend. That pushed Godzilla Kong, the new empire, to second place. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 340 people in northwest Wisconsin will lose their jobs when window factory Gelled Wen closes in Hawkins later this year. The company plans to move its Wisconsin production to its factory in central Illinois. The move will reportedly save the company at least $7 million. Wisconsin teachers are leaving the profession faster than ever. A new Department of Public Instruction report says 40% of new teachers leave teaching or leave Wisconsin after 6 years. And it's not just the low pay.
They're still being asked to take their work home with them, to work over the weekends. They're often being asked to teach both in person and virtually, sometimes simultaneously.
State School Superintendent Jill Underley says Wisconsin has enough surplus money to fix the problem. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks get blown out in Orlando. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks wrapped up the regular season with an ugly loss to the Magic, 113-88. Damian Lillard was back from an adductor injury. Doc Rivers asked why he benched him in the second half.
I just didn't like how he was moving, honestly. I just didn't like the way he was moving the first half. He took a bad step, and I just didn't like the way he was moving. I'm just being straight with you. I just figure if you sit him, you can't be wrong.
Up next, the Bucks will host the Pacers in a best-of-seven playoff series, Game 1 Sunday at Fiserv Forum. Baseball. The Brewers lost to the Orioles 6-4 Sunday, but won the series in Baltimore. They host the Padres tonight. In golf, Scottie Scheffler wins his second green jacket at the Masters.
It's hard to put into words how special this is. It's been a long week, a grind of a week. The golf course was so challenging, and to be sitting here wearing this jacket again and getting to take it home is extremely special.
Scheffler winning by four strokes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 63 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, 42. Tomorrow, cloudy, windy, scattered showers, 58, with more rain tomorrow night. And the rain could be heavy with a half inch to an inch possible tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
And I brought people, too. Greg Bach from Waukesha, Selena Heller, Up North News reporter from Eau Claire, Dr. Kristen Lyerly somewhere up on the range, and Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. And we'll be joined later on by authors Tom Manis and Christy Manis, who have a book called Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Kristen's first in line with some weird fact about Wisconsin, I think. So that'll come up right after Brittany tells us about the forecast, which includes some precautions about potential grass fire dangers today with the dry humidity and the winds. But Brittany, you cannot argue with the conditions over the weekend. It was just gorgeous.
This weekend was fantastic. I'm so glad we got so warm on the weekend. We got outside to enjoy it. Oh my goodness. But if you didn't, oh man, we are going to see some heavy rain headed our way by tomorrow, and it's going to be a wet week. So today's your last day. Like you mentioned, no burning. A big chunk of the state is in a very high fire danger right now. So that would spread so rapidly if any fire starts. So keep that in mind today. Highs still comfortable. We'll climb into the mid-60s with some sunshine. But then the storm will hit tomorrow. It'll start moving into the state by late morning and take over and drench us. This is going to be a soaking rain from Tuesday night through Wednesday, and it could even linger until Thursday as well. Again, we're looking at 1 to 2 inches of rainfall, so we could see some localized flooding. You're going to want the umbrella that is headed our way, plus some storms mixed in there too.
What do we got here? Rob from Tigerton says it's sunny and 39, a perfect weekend weather-wise, and he remembers 6 years ago getting some 30 inches of snow, and that's why you appreciate these warm April weekends. I might have to fact-check the 30 inches on there. And he goes on to say the sturgeon are spawning on the Wolf River, headed to Shawano to check it out at the Wolf River Dam in Sturgeon Park. So there you go. We've got spawning sturgeon, and again, not nearly the snow that we had 6 years ago.
Nope. I remember that big melt too last year. We had all the snow on the ground and the massive melt and the flooding. So we're in good conditions. Just don't burn.
Yeah, no, I was looking at photos from a year ago. Yeah, you know, little Facebook memories, they pop up. And
yes,
we went to Loopy's on the river near Chippewa Falls. And it was fun to watch, but I'm like, this thing wouldn't have to rise much further to take out Loopy's and take us out too. It was very impressive last year.
Loopy's.
Oh yeah. We love Loopy.
I'll have to go.
You are so up north.
I know. All right, fine.
Up north is the best.
Oh no, I don't. When the morning when he said, he's like, I'm looking out on the lake and I'm looking out on the farm, I'm like, oh, I'm so jealous.
Yes. Loopy, if you're listening, you're going to have to get the party bus ready because I'm going to have them. You're going to pick all these people up at my place sometime this summer.
Heck yeah.
Take them down to your place. So
let's go.
We are arranged. All right, Brittany, thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. All right. So again, we've got the authors of Weird or Secret Wisconsin, The Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure coming up. And Kristen, you have a weird story you wanted to share?
No, it's not weird. It's wonderful.
Oh, it's wonderful. I'm sorry. Hit us with your Wisconsin wonderfulness.
I drive on Highway 29 all the time because I work in Minnesota. So I drive past Doc's Harley Davidson in Bonduelle all the time. And I always look at it and think, well, that looks like an interesting place. We finally went to Doc's Harley Davidson. I've never seen anything like it. It is the hugest collection of heartfelt, wonderful oddities. And Doc gave us a tour, showed us his reptile collection, his mammoth tusk. I got to sit in a 67 GTO, which is like almost like the Le Mans that I grew up driving. It was so great spending time with Doc and that whole crew. And it was just like every piece of it was authentic and heartfelt. And I loved it.
That's the place that looks like the car from the Dukes of Hazzard flying over the building. Uh-huh. And we'd pass by it for, again, years and years. And when our grandsons were like, you know, 3 and 10 or something like that, we thought, let's stop in there. That was one of the best days of summer, was watching. They just loved all the stuff, all the oddities about it. So, yeah, I'm glad you got to stop. It was like our own little up north version of House on the Rock.
Yeah, yes, and so much more. It just keeps, like, doors keep opening in front of you, and you're like, wow. And the history and the his love for the mechanics of it, the things that he's made out of Harley parts, it is just fascinating. Please go there and try to eat the six-pound burger if you can.
I'm sorry, the what?
Oh, yeah, next door there's the Timeline Cafe, and they have a six-pound burger challenge. If you can eat the whole thing, you get to ride this very interesting motorcycle that he built. Or just bring your friends and eat
that
the burger
together.
That
doesn't sound like a prize. It sounds like if you eat a six-pound burger, we'll allow you to die in our restaurant.
Yeah. Like, if there's not a crash cart nearby, I'm not sure I would go with that.
Bring your friends.
Yeah, of course. So here. Another thing about this time of year is, well, school's starting to wrap up. And so Celine's going to talk about the school bus fleet and how it's getting more and more modern across Wisconsin. But it's also baby farm animal season, and let's go with that one first, because there's a place not too far away from us here, just west of us, and and baby farm animals are like their big draw every spring. Tell us more about it.
Well, yes, and I remember when kind of he started, because he came on the morning show with me, and I said, can you bring me a lamb so I can hold it during the show? So we talked about that, and he remembered that. And it's John and Julie Gobin in Menominee, and they have quit dairy farming. They sold their cattle about 20 years ago. And so they said, what are we going to do now? And so then they decided the following year, we're going to open up the farm to have people come and learn about the farm, learn about animals, and show them what a glimpse of farming is like. And this is John Govin.
This is an experience like most farmers in the country don't get to have. This is the most wonderful experience to be able to host everybody at this farm, to give them a little glimpse into agriculture. You know, we're so far detached from agriculture now. It's five generations removed. The average consumer is five generations removed. Last year, we had a group of 75 kids on a field trip from Eau Claire, and we think of Eau Claire as still being somewhat rural. Of those 75 children, none of them had ever been on a farm.
None of them had ever been
can
on a farm.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can, sadly. Now in this day and age, the number of people who have farm exposure. Can we talk for a bit about the background noise there? So many lambs.
300
going, no,
lambs in the background. And no. We were trying to find a place, and in the barn, it was all the goats, like, just answering each other, and it was really loud everywhere. But we go here every year, and it's just, you know, I grew up on a farm, so I have to get Emery, like, the farm is the best thing ever. And she thought that too, all with all the baby animals. Last year, not so much, because a chick, she was holding a chick, and it went to the bathroom on her, so that was enough. We had to leave immediately.
And I will pet it and squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it.
A lot of that with little kids.
Yep. And are they still doing that? Is it there's only a limited range where they've got the baby animals there?
Yes, this last weekend was the last weekend that they opened up. So now the summer, they'll have strawberries. In the fall, they have a corn maze and a haunted trail. So that's what they kind of reinvented the farm, and that's what they do now. About 30 to 35,000 people come.
And Kristen, you're doing quite the tour of the district here. I'm sure that's included some things that are farm and farm related. Maybe you haven't been petting baby animals, but I'm not sure.
Would recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, my grandparents were dairy farmers. My mom grew up on a farm. That was my favorite thing to do, is go visit Grandma and Grandpa Sobel and hang out with the kittens in the barn and help Grandpa with the milking.
Best thing ever.
When Sherry's parents were still doing dairy farming, and of course had to do a lot of field work, and Mason, our first grandson, who's now 17, but back when he was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old, he got to go with Grandpa out in the tractor, out in the field, and he learned the coolest thing, that when you're out in the middle of the field, if you got to go to the bathroom, you just get out of the tractor, and apparently you just go right over there by the tire, which was fine, except that, like, you know, later that day or the next day, we see him just peeing on a tree in the front yard, because that's, you know, Grandpa said you can just pee outside. That's what you do.
Carry it over.
No, it's only if you're doing field work where that gets to happen.
Noted. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll pass that on.
Selena's going to tell us more about the ever-growing electric school bus fleet coming up in just a couple of minutes here. First, we'll do a little sports at 7:16. Good news, you guys. I don't have to explain the NBA play-in tournament to you. Aren't you relieved?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
Amazing. I like being a fan. I heard you guys talking about this earlier, and I love sports. I'm kind of in Greg's camp, though. I can't keep up with it all, especially this time of year. We've got the basketball, the baseball, the hockey, and, you know, in Green Bay, we're always talking about football. We never take a break. It's just a lot.
It is. We got a Snapchat video from my younger daughter, and it's a shot of the TV, and the Masters is on, and the caption says, yeah, Charlotte, that does it to me too, and pans off the TV because the golf is on, and Charlotte, who's, you know, just turned two, is just completely splayed out on the couch fast asleep, just out, which is why I don't watch golf regularly on TV, because it would totally do the same thing to me. But getting back to the Bucks, they had been the number two seed pretty much the entire season, which meant they were going to have to play one of the winners of the play-in tournament to start off the playoffs. But on the last day of the regular season yesterday, in losing to Orlando 113-88, that dropped the Bucks to the 3 seed. So they don't have to worry about this goofy play-in tournament, because now instead of playing the 7 seed, they'll play the 6 seed, which is the Indiana Pacers. Unfortunately, the Indiana Pacers have beat them 3 out of 4 times during the regular season, and game 1 isn't until next Sunday. So they've got a little bit of time to figure it out and not let the rust settle in. So we'll have a lot to talk about a week from today, when the Bucks formally begin their playoff run. The Brewers went up against Corbin Burns for the first time since trading him to Baltimore, and William Contreras started off the game nicely. Second pitch of the game, hits a home run off Burns, but ultimately the Orioles won the game and salvaged one game out of the series, 6-4. The Brewers won the first two games of the series and come home right away for a quick 3-game set against the San Diego Padres tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday afternoon. And you can hear those games on News from the Center in Richland Center, WRJN and Racine, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country. And after that 3-game series this week, the Brewers hit the road again for an important division road trip, 3 games in St. Louis next weekend, followed by 4 in Pittsburgh. We'll have more with Selena Heller coming up in just a bit. First, a reminder that wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, April 15th, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Busted pencils.
We'll keep talking about it because it is an important thing happening in our world and in our culture, whether you're in education or in any field. It's part of your day-to-day right now. Like, hey, what's the role AI is going to play in this?
We give every assignment the kids turn in, we put it through AI detectors. There's no ability for a student to opt out of the surveillance.
Busted pencils, weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I had to play Sherry's favorite Billy Joel song for the occasion today.
Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You got the liquor, start.
I have no idea if they played this song or not because CBS cut out of the Billy Joel concert because the Masters Golf Tournament ran long. So I figured we deserved an extra dose of Billy Joel this morning. All right, Selena Heller, Kristen Lyerly, Greg Bach, Pat Kreitlow, all here on Up North News Radio, 7:21 now on this Monday, April 15th. And I recall when school buses, back in my day, boy, they would just belch out the black smoke from the tailpipe and everything. It's a different world out there now, thankfully, as school districts and city bus lines across the state upgrade their fleet thanks to some things that President Biden and a Democratic Congress did a couple of years back, Selena.
Well, yeah. Can you all remember, or can you all think when I say, you know, starting up the bus, the sound?
And oh,
you,
yeah, the rumble.
You hear that? Yep. Oh, my goodness. Well, when I was there, so I went on, you know, the after-school route last week on one of the routes. It was an hour long. But when the bus driver got in the bus, he's like, okay, I'm going to turn on the bus. And it was just like, and you barely heard anything. It was the oddest thing. Mm-hmm. So school buses are a lot more quiet now these days. So the bipartisan infrastructure law and through the Clean Bus Program is providing $5 billion over the next 5 years to replace existing school buses across the country with zero or low emission models. And in Wisconsin, 15 districts took advantage of the program, the first wave of the program, and 65 electric buses were awarded to school districts across Wisconsin. So one of them was Mondovi.
Okay, who are we going to hear from?
So I went along with Dan Danzinger. He's been a bus driver in the district for 6 years, and he told me all about the buses, as well as their transportation manager, Shelley Tigan. And so it was a really interesting ride. And Dan told me that just some of the differences in the buses. And so here's Dan.
Well, there is one big difference. These buses recharge the battery when you take your foot off the accelerator. Let's say you're going down a hill, you take your foot off the accelerator, and it's like engine braking. The power goes back into the batteries. So that's quite a lot different. So the first week was learning how to operate it. We did have classes and stuff for this, but the second week now that we're in, it's a lot more comfortable. I've learned that you don't hardly have to touch the brake pedal at all. It'll basically come to a stop by itself.
That was something I'd had to learn as well when we bought a hybrid vehicle last year. Yeah. First, how quiet it is, and but also, yeah, it, you know, you have to treat the braking a little bit differently, which is fine. I mean, you can learn it. You just have to adjust to it. Now, for us, it was a Hyundai, and so because you can't really hear the engine, when you put it in reverse, you get this very loud backup alarm. It's like beep, beep. First time it happened, I'm like, am I in a garbage truck? What is going on here? I'm like, nope, that's what happens with hybrids. I don't know if the school buses have that. If not, they probably should because they run so much quieter.
They do have that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so then you went for a ride with Dan and talked more with him.
Yes, we talked along the route and he kind of explained the buttons to me and just how neat they were and what questions people had kind of going into this and what they as drivers, they kind of like, how is this going to be? Of course, when you get new things, you have to, there's a learning curve, but the big question a lot of people have across the state, especially this state, because we have cold winters, how are these buses going to perform in the winter? So that's one of the big questions that they've gotten. The transportation manager called Alaska. She called Northern Minnesota schools that have had buses, and they assure her, you know, they perform well. So she said, you know, I wanted to figure all that out before we said, yes, let's do this. And here's Dan talking about the buses in the winter.
I think we were all a little bit uncertain because we get pretty harsh winters sometimes. This winter was an exception. But another bus driver that doesn't drive the electric asked me this morning if I think they'll work in the wintertime, and I believe they will. It's just going to be a matter of warming up the batteries before you hit the road.
Okay, but this, I now have to ask what that noise was we were hearing, because apparently there are some serious potholes in that yeah. area.
We were driving in potholes.
Thanks to the infrastructure plan, those potholes
were filled. That was him driving.
What was that, Greg?
The bus rattles. Yeah. You hear rattling. But, you know, that was me in the bus talking with him, and I was behind him in the seat behind him, and you could still hear him. So that's how quiet the bus was.
What'd you say, Greg?
I was going to say, thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure bill, those potholes will be filled shortly.
Yes, they will. That much is coming along with all these investments that are being made, Kristen. Well,
and that legitimate question about how do these batteries do in the winter, I have an electric car, and I can tell you that our range is half of what it is in the summer. And it's scary when you're driving around because you can't just go to a gas station and fill up if you get low. So that's something that causes a lot of people anxiety. But I think as we get used to that concept and comfortable with it, it'll become something that we don't worry about as much.
Right. This isn't the norm. And that's what these districts are kind of hoping for, that more districts will grab onto this because they keep their spares so they can go the long drives to sporting events and take the teams to other schools, because when they get there, they can't charge up because they don't have the infrastructure. They don't have the charging stations to do so. So they have their spares for long distances.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the transition to, you know, something where the range on these batteries gets better. You get more charging stations that are out there. Mm-hmm. And of course, the whole reason for this is not just for, you know, cleaner burning buses that do less damage to, you know, our natural resources, but it creates jobs, you know, where those buses have to be assembled, where those charging stations have to be put in. All of this is, again, I talk about this all the time. Somebody finally doing the work, somebody saying, you know, oh yeah, we can talk about charging stations, we can talk about electric vehicles, but, you know, how are we going to get this done? And that's what we got done through the bipartisan infrastructure law and the Inflation Reduction Act and, you know, the American Rescue Plan before that. And, you know, Kristen, it's like you said last hour, politics versus policy. And yet, for whatever reason, the Biden administration or the Biden campaign is still trying to get that message across about these are the policies that did, you know, that have done so much good. And I just know you're going to be hearing that from people as well, going, gosh, the economy is still bad. At least that's what I hear. But they'll tell you their economy is good. They've just been fed a steady diet of cynical news from other sectors, shall we say.
Yeah. Well, and let's think about the impact that clean energy has on Wisconsin, because we don't have fossil fuels, but we have hydro, we have air, we have sun. We can generate fuels that are healthier and that are more environmentally friendly. So this really does have a positive impact from a power standard in the state of Wisconsin. This is exciting for us.
It is. All right, Kristen, thanks so much for checking in. Good luck with the working and then coming back and doing the campaigning, and give us an update again real soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. All right. Have a great Monday.
Thanks, you too. Selena, thank you so much. Check out more of her work over at UpNorthNewsWI.com and UpNorthNewsWI on social media. Coming up next, we'll have the authors of a new book, Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. That's coming up next. You're up north.
I'd be laughing a bit too loud. Oh, but that never hurt no one. You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything
That's
off.
Not, what are you talking about? That was December off. Basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules.
You're exactly
Todd.
Right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely
you would
not.
Just yeah. start I'm freaking out. Yeah.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Garage sales, farmers markets. It looks like they all got jump-started over the weekend. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. And that includes the Dane County Farmers Market. They're looking for a full complement of farm opportunities for you this year. Details on the way.
To help take care of your ag operation, you're going to need the brand that you call One Tough Animal. Bobcat Plus, they carry new and used Bobcat equipment and also feature a full service department, parts, rental, so there's no need to worry about downtime. Skid steer loaders, mini excavators, utility vehicles, and so much more. There's a Bobcat Plus location just down the road. Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere. Those chores around the farm just got a lot easier. Stop in or visit bobcatplus.com. Bobcat, One Tough Animal.
Jamie Bugel is the general manager of the Dane County Farmers Market, considered one of the most popular in the United States because it is entirely farmer-driven. She says those farmer vendors are going to be numerous this year and changing through the course of the season.
We have the same number of vendors that we did last year, which is around 220. But as you know, we kind of ramp up throughout the year as things come into season. And as a part of those 220, we have 16 new members. And a few of those new products that we'll see include Wisconsin-raised fish.
Jamie Bugel, she's the market manager for the Dane County Farmers Market back on the Capitol Square as of this past weekend. She says that if there's other vendors that are interested in being involved in the Dane County Farmers Market, they get put on a waiting list. She said there's been quite an improvement as far as that waiting list is concerned. Today, you'll only have to wait maybe about 2 years for a vending opportunity. She said that's quite an improvement over previous when you'd need to wait at least 10.
This is Mike.
Hey.
He's getting a quick haircut at the local barber school.
It's only $5.
How bad can it?
Oh!
Yikes. Don't be like Mike when it comes to weed control. Get the job done right the first time and plan ahead with Status Herbicide. It delivers elite corn safety and reliable performance, so you don't have to deal with more problems than you bargained for. Status Herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
By the way, speaking of the Dane County Farmers Market, even if you don't plan on making a trip to Madison to enjoy that event, Jamie Bugel tells us that there's other ways to engage. Last year, volunteers put together a cookbook using recipes submitted by vendors on the Capitol Square. And also, this week, the Bravo Network and their show Top Chef Wisconsin will feature the Farmers Market as their focal point for some of their next Chef Testant Challenges. That's just a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Monday. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 63 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, 42. Tomorrow, cloudy, windy, scattered showers, 58, with more rain tomorrow night. And the rain could be heavy with a half inch to an inch possible tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
little Bewitched music marking Elizabeth Montgomery, born this day in 1933, passed away in 1995. But seems appropriate to talk about Bewitched as we head into the next segment here on a fascinating book that takes you all around our state. It's called Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. And Tom and Christy Manis join us, the co-authors of that book. Tom and Christy, good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning.
So nice to have you here. Let's start with just what people can expect to read about in Secret Wisconsin. How do you gather everything that's there and decide which made the cut for this book?
well, it was hard.
It was very hard. The first thing is everything in the book is pretty much what you won't find on the first few pages of Google search or Instagram. Because we like finding unique, quirky things, because we like quirky things. And so one example of how you could start with the book is one of our favorite things is it, and we had to start the book with Welcome to Cleveland. And that is just one of those quirky things that you want to tell the story.
Some people know about it, but when you fly into Milwaukee, you fly over a guy's house, and on the top, he has painted Welcome to Cleveland. So it confuses a lot of flyers into Milwaukee Airport.
I'll bet
to the does. Point where there's some flights where the pilot comes on and says, "We are not in Cleveland. This is Milwaukee." And it's a real quirky thing. And the guy still paints it almost every year.
He keeps it fresh, so it's really visible.
That is funny. You raise in the notes for the book all kinds of fascinating questions that people can get answers to, like why a temporary circus billboard from 1885 still exists on a building. Did someone really exchange water with aliens for extraterrestrial pancakes? Where can you honor deceased postal letter carriers? Have you been eating your brats the wrong way? No, wait, that one isn't so much weird Wisconsin. That's like massive debates across Wisconsin. I suppose you get into that a bit as well.
Definitely. But most people in Wisconsin eat a brat and a long bun. But those are fighting words in Sheboygan because they have a hard roll. They use a hard roll and a round hard roll. And most people will do a double and put two brats on it. So what we found, though, is we talked to people across the state. A lot of people don't know about that, though, so that's why we had to add it. It's one of those quirky things, and you eke it. There's even a brat oath that you can take to make sure that ensure that you're eating it the right way forever and ever. So it's one of those quirky fun things.
Now, how do you eat your brat?
I wouldn't call it a hard roll, but I'm very picky about buns that are large enough and almost qualify as a hard roll, depending on how the grocery store is preparing them. But on a round hard roll, that would be a new one for me. I assume you've tried it that way now.
We have not, but we will. Okay.
But you've told people that this is something to expect when you get to the Sheboygan area. People
yes,
are going to hold
definitely.
You to it. Wow. Okay. It seems like, now look, with our proximity to Chicago, I get that there are plenty of places that say Al Capone went through here. I've been in places in a few other states and in Regina, Canada has a tour because Al Capone allegedly spent some time there. It makes me wonder if he actually got anything done in Chicago, but he most definitely does have a Wisconsin presence among the things that you outline in the book.
Yes, definitely. And everybody's got an Al Capone story. But when you actually, when you look up his house and the location, a lot of people have it wrong. And we really dug in and had to find it. And then we had to go visit ourselves in person to make sure that, it's where it was.
I'm amazed at the amount of gangster stories from the state of Wisconsin, though.
Oh, yeah.
You said, he was everywhere.
He was.
And not only him, mm-hmm. but a lot of them.
Well, it was, again, that prohibition era created an entire culture, created an entire part of the economy. You know, my wife talks about how her grandfather was a moonshine runner for a while. There was a lot of it that was run up and down, you know, the Wisconsin side of Lake Michigan, and then out and about from there. So yeah, there, you know, the Hayward area, you know, has a hideaway as well that's marked with Al Capone. But yeah, the gangster stories are quite notable, and there are many of them. Let's go back a step before you started collecting everything weird about Wisconsin. Tell us about some of your other work, you know, as writers, and was that something you've always been looking to do? Is that how you met? Was wanting to write about things like Wisconsin? What's your background?
Well, I think we met in college, actually in North Carolina, which is kind of funny.
A long time ago.
And we love to travel. So I think we're travelers. We love to find those unique, quirky things on the back roads and two-lane highways. And it's just stuff you keep in the back of your mind all the time. And like our, you know, what we found in Wisconsin, a lot of where we knew about. And so we decided, you know, we love to travel and we love to see new things and we wanted to share it with people. So
we've been writing forever. For instance, our son is 27. And his first year of life, we took 6 weeks and drove to Alaska with a baby. And the same year, he also went down to the equator almost. And we've been going ever since.
Wow.
We never really thought about writing books until fairly recently. And basically, a publisher caught us. And we agreed to it.
Right. And now we have a new one coming out, Historic Wisconsin Roadsides. We're working on that one right now. That will be in the spring, next spring. It'll be released.
I think that, you know, we've had on authors about, you know, Supper Club books, for example, which is, mm-hmm. you know, its own, you know, culture here in Wisconsin. And so right. I like that you're getting into the roadsides, which, again, there's just so much you can discover off the beaten path, whether it's these roadsides, these supper clubs, like you said, the places where gangsters stayed. It's almost fair to say you could never run out of material if you wanted to keep doing this.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Oh, we had a list of about 300 things that didn't make this book.
So there's probably going to be a second
sequel,
edition eventually.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and that's just, you know, quirky things for Secret Wisconsin. But I mean, there's so much out there. Wisconsin is a quirky state and we love it. It's the quirkiest state we've been to, and we've been to 48 states. So we still have Hawaii and the elusive Rhode Island to get to. So we've seen a lot and we've lived all over the country, and Wisconsin truly is a quirky state.
No doubt there. So now you've got a couple of book signings that are coming up.
We do. This Saturday, we're going to be in downtown Madison at Little Luxuries. It's a unique gift shop. You'll find a lot of things you didn't know you needed. And it's 4 minutes off of the square. So you go to the farmer's market, you can walk 4 minutes to Little Luxuries, and we'll have a book signing there.
That's on State Street, which is always a fun walk.
Oh, yeah.
And then next Saturday, the 27th, we're going to be at Spooner at Whitebird Creations. Doing a book signing then.
So in working with this, and you said a publisher found you, how did you find the process worked out? Was it a case of one of you was kind of the principal writer and the other was kind of the editor, or how do you do this as a team?
The weird thing is we have been working together for 29 years. We've been together every day, 24 hours a day, and we like it like that. Our desks are right next to each other. So for this book, we each kind of took a little bit of a story, but we talked it through. It's both of us in every single thing in the book.
And some of the, you know, I knew that I would enjoy writing it better, and some I knew she would enjoy writing it better. And so we just said, hey, you take this one, I'll take this one. We just split it up and did it that way.
And apart from, I mean, like you said, you've got hundreds, literally, of Wisconsin stories to tell, and you mentioned the couple of states you've yet to go to. What has your appetite been like for world travel, and whether you might write something about, you know, your global excursions?
Well, we love world travel. We love going international. And I don't know, it's probably something down the road. Right now, we're focused on road trips in the U.S. and, you know, Midwest and Wisconsin.
We were traveling a lot overseas before the pandemic, and the pandemic kind of changed everything.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're not big on getting in a plane right now.
I'm with you. I mean, I'm with you.
To be honest, yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
and we love road trips. I mean,
yeah,
that's how we travel. We travel road trips, and we go all day. Our motto is the wheels aren't turning. We're not seeing anything.
Oh, I like that. Well, it reminds me of something Sherry said early on when we made like our first trip to Disney World, and the girls were little. And so, of course, somebody had to give us the whole timeshare, you know, spiel. Mm-hmm. And Sherry's response about not getting a timeshare, she said, well, I haven't been everywhere yet. Once right. I've been everywhere, then maybe there's some place I'll want to come to year after year. But I haven't been everywhere yet. She really ought to put that on a T-shirt.
Yeah.
That's so true. Yeah, that's so true.
So back to the book for a second here, and I don't want to give away too much because people can order this through, you know, their local bookseller or online. But being that we talk about, you know, politics quite a bit on this show, you've got a note in here that the book tells you why JFK made a deposit in Spooner and how Teddy Roosevelt's long speech saved his life from an attempted assassination. You can pick which either one you want and maybe fill in some of the blanks for us.
There's a hotel in Milwaukee that Roosevelt was going to give a speech at, and somebody tried to kill him. And what saved him was a very, 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 very thick speech that he had in his pocket.
He had it folded in his pocket, and it helped stop the bullet.
Yeah.
And he kept the surgeons couldn't get the bullet out. So he kept it in his body, you know, the rest of his life.
It was
actually something I never knew, but researching for this book, I found it, and I had to go and see where it happened, and it was really interesting.
Well, it's funny again because, they didn't have Kevlar back then, but no. You know, enough paper, especially a big speech wadded up and put in your breast pocket, you know, helps. Or I've talked about how, you know, my dad, you know, way back in the 50s when he was playing hockey, a doctor asked him 40 years later, said, did you used to play hockey with newspaper wrapped around your legs? And he's like, yeah, because that's all they had, you know,
yeah.
for shin guards was, you know, you'd put the St. Paul Dispatch, you know, inside your breezers. Because, again, paper was all that was available. That was your option back then. And, yeah, in Teddy Roosevelt's case, could have led to something just awful. I'm sure you've talked about food in the book as well, everything from donuts to whitefish livers. Anything that you would recommend that people get out of their comfort zone and see or try?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Friday morning fish fry.
Friday
morning fish fry.
Ooh.
It's a tradition at Oliver's Bakery in Kenosha. The owner, she's owned it for 40 and worked and owned it for over 40 years. And so we asked her, you know, hey, where did this tradition start? And she says, I don't know. It's just forever, you know, that's everything that she's known. And but every Friday morning, they have a fish fry. You can buy fish and shrimp. And, you know, you don't get coleslaw and the sides, but it's a take home. But it's an old-fashioned throwback bakery, and the bakery's incredible, too.
Well, the fish was pretty good, too.
Oh, it was really good, yeah.
And the people, I mean, I was amazed. I didn't think that people would come to get fish at 7:30 in the morning, but they were lined up out the door.
Well, again, that's part of the culture. Secret, Wisconsin, a guide to the weird, wonderful, and obscure. Tom and Christy Manis are the co-authors. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. We learned so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Have a great day, and best of luck with the book and the book tour, and get to see them if you can. Terry Bell's next. You're up north.
Thank you.
Thanks. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, That was a lot better than the original person.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know. Now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Tomorrow on Up North News Radio, we'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser about export markets for Wisconsin farmers. Billions and billions of bushels of our crops go to feed people around the world. And yet there's a member of Congress from Wisconsin on the House Agriculture Committee that wants to stifle some of that export market availability for Wisconsin farmers. We'll talk about that tomorrow morning. Then on Wednesday, we have our weekly climate check feature, our homeroom report, including a new study from the Wisconsin Policy Institute on voters' appetites for school referendums and local government referendums. So a lot to come yet this week, but yet to come this morning. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell has three things you need to know to get the week started. And Terry, good morning. There's no doubt, of course, we started off the show with thing number one, which is just a very historic day, not in a great way for our country.
Yeah, the first time ever a former president of the United States is being faces a trial in criminal court. So yes, it is a very historic day, and as you say, you know, not for the right reasons.
No, and it all starts with jury selection today, which. Now, again, there won't be live cameras in the courtroom, but that would be, you're going to take hundreds, maybe thousands of people around Manhattan and try to find, 12 who can be impartial and weigh the case. And this just sounds daunting. I do not envy the people who have to do that screening today.
That in and of itself might be a huge deal as far as, the ability to get this thing going. That's an excellent point.
Mm-hmm. Second thing on the list here, and we didn't talk about it nearly enough on Friday, that one of the Supreme Court justices, her term is up in April of next year. Mm. And up until late last week, we assumed that Progressive Justice Ann Walsh Bradley would be running for another term, but that's not happening now.
No, she kind of dropped a bomb on Thursday. Not a lot of people saw it coming because she had in previous interviews said that it was her plan to run for re-election. But she is 73 years old. She has been serving on the high court for, since the mid-1990s. So, this is a point in life where, one may give serious thought to taking the foot off the gas a little bit and relaxing. And so what this does is, for the time being, sort of put the race in flux a bit, since on the progressive side, instead of a known commodity, now you're probably going to have at least a primary. There's no partisan primary in Supreme Court, but it opens things up in a way that people did not anticipate before. So it depends on the strengths of the candidates that do step forward. And already there's been a couple of names that have been put forward. Former State Representative Chris Taylor, who is now a judge, and Dane County Judge Susan Crawford. Those are two of the names that have come up to the surface the quickest as this process begins.
I don't know Judge Crawford. I did serve in the legislature with Chris Taylor and knew that she had become had been appointed judge and then I think elected a judge since mm-hmm. that time. So I'm aware of her. Now, of course, on the conservative side of this nonpartisan race, you've got former Attorney General Brad Schimmel has, you know, all but declared as well. So there's almost certainly going to be a primary, however many progressives, however many conservatives get in. It's, you know, one primary, and then the top two candidates move on to the April general election next year. And what makes this fascinating and maybe, Terry, depressing to other people is the conservative side of things, they're going to come at this full bore because they have a chance to then retake control of the court for conservatives. They could go back to a 4-3 majority. And if they don't get it, they won't get another chance until 2028 because the justices in 2026 and 2027 that are up are conservative justices. So there wouldn't be a chance to pick up. So it's either next year or 2028. And that's the thing that's going to, I'm sorry, it's going to depress some people, but it means that once again, like 2022, we're going to get past this presidential election and the election for U.S. Senate and legislature and everything. We're going to get to this November. Then people just want a break, and there's not going to be a break. We're going to jump right into the campaigning for that April election. And for Wisconsin voters that are like, oh, you know, what is that? Wisconsin's just that important of a state that we have these close elections.
And the stakes are arguably even higher for all the reasons that you mentioned. You know, with all the attention and money that went into Janet Protasiewicz versus Dan Kelly, I would expect the stakes here to be even higher, and the rhetoric as well.
Oh, without a doubt. It's going to be so much more expensive. The outside groups that are going to come in, and when outside groups come in, I mean, they'll just say just the nastiest stuff because they're essentially the bad guys so that the candidate can be the good guys. And I guess I would just, having now acknowledged that it's almost depressing that we're going right into another campaign, I would be remiss if I didn't say, well, that's good. Plug into it. Plug into it because, you know, if we didn't have people participating in our democracy, then, you know, you don't want to know the caliber of folks that would step in if voters don't. And all of this is made possible by people who pay their taxes as part of as part of a functional government. And that's where we find ourselves on this April 15th. So from this show's standpoint, this is your last reminder. Get her done today.
Yeah, for sure. This is the last time. If you can't come up with, if you end up owing and you can't come up with the money, file today anyway. Put, or at least file for an extension, but put as much as you can toward what you owe, because the fees and the interest do rack up. So that's what people recommend for sure. There has been some efforts at reform in other states. Unfortunately, Wisconsin taxpayers don't get a chance at this time around. But free filing program called Direct File from the IRS is available in 12 states this year, where people can file their taxes for free if they meet certain qualifications, and that they actually cover quite a lot of people. And that's what a lot of people have been saying for a long time, is that the way we're required to file our taxes in this country is a bit burdensome for a lot of people, and doesn't need to be this way.
Burdensome is putting it mildly, much like our healthcare system. Our tax system does not have to be this complicated. I mean, there are a lot of things in life that have to be complicated, but not like this. And I'm also not saying that, oh, it's so simple, it should go on a postcard. No, not that simple. But somewhere there is middle ground to make filing taxes easier, and I just hope we keep making progress toward that. Terry Bell with three things you need to know to start the week. Terry, thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat.
All right, have a great day. Again, tomorrow we'll talk to Hans Breiten Moser about farm exports. Don't forget our Women Win Wisconsin segment on Thursday, now powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good. And that'll do it for us on a Monday morning. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, but we're just thrilled to partner with them for these 2 hours every weekday morning. Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thanks for spending some time up on the lake with us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Trump trial begins. I'm Dave Packer. Donald Trump set to enter a courthouse in New York.